track. Hello and welcome to another episode of The Second Golden Age of Radio with yours truly, Richard Templeman, and my co-host, Kelly Tolley. We also want to welcome back once again to the podcast, Jacob Chapman. Now let's get started with talking about some old-time radio shows for your enjoyment. This radio series actually was suggested to us by a listener, Jacqueline Pollock. She says we should cover Our Miss Brooks radio series.
Our Miss Brooks is an American situational comedy starring the ever-wonderful Eve Arden as a sardonic high school English teacher. It was a radio show broadcast on CBS from 1948 to 1957. And the show even was adapted to television from 52 to 56. It became one of the medium's earliest hits. In 1956, the sitcom was adapted for a big screen film of the same name.
Harry Ackerman was in charge of West Coast Broadcasting, decided he wanted Shirley Booth for the role. But when he found out that she was more interested in shining a light to the poor conditions of being a teacher, like their pay and what they have to deal with, he decided to go another route. Besides some of the sexism of the time and the different viewpoints of the time period, we learn a lot from Eve Arden playing our Miss Brooks. She tries to rise above those problems. It was also rumored that My Favorite Husband star Lucille Ball was going to be offered Miss Brooks. Both of their shows have similarities and even shared actors like Gail Gordon. Eve Arden was a hit with the critics. She was named the year's best radio comedienne because she was female. Comedienne instead of comedian. So times they are changing. Should just be comedian, I think. For its entire radio life, Colgate-Palmolive sponsored the show, either with soaps, creams, shampoos, toothpaste, and hair care products. The show went until 1957, so even after the television life ended, they were still on the radio. So they transitioned from radio to television and still were on the radio. And so we're going to be listening to a doozy of an episode. I believe it's called Our Miss Brooks Radio Show from November 26, 1950, Woman Driver. I picked it because it sounds a little divisive, a little sketchy, but we could talk about the differences between then and now and then, and I think it will be fun.
Colgate Dental Cream to clean your breath while you clean your teeth and help stop tooth decay, and Luster Cream Shampoo for soft, glamorous, caressable hair bring you Our Miss Brooks starring Eve Arden. Time once again for another comedy episode of Our Miss Brooks, under the direction of Al Lewis. Well, there's no doubt about it. The hopped-up jalopy has replaced the tandem bicycle in most of our high schools. And occasionally, reckless driving poses a problem to the faculty. Our Miss Brooks, who teaches English at Madison High, became acquainted with this problem last week.
It was on Tuesday, to be exact, and I became intimately acquainted with the problem. As I was crossing the street, a wild-eyed kid bore down on me in something that looked like a torpedo with four wheels and a raccoon tail. If I hadn't been wearing my gym shoes, I would now be welded to the grill of a Model A. Good morning, Walter.
Good morning to you, oh, fairest of the faculty. Did you notice anything different today?
Different? Let's see. Oh, yes. You've got jam on your face instead of peanut butter.
No, I don't mean about me. I mean about my car. Take a good look.
Well, for heaven's sake, who stole your fenders? And what are those outlandish pipes sticking out for?
I know you're not very mechanical-minded, Miss Brooks, so I'll make it very simple. Stretch Snodgrass and I hopped it up in auto school, shop at school. You see, first of all, we dropped the chassis springs. We put in a lightweight camshaft. Two Winfield downdraft pots and a four-port Riley super speed high compression head. Do you follow?
Not quite. What did you say after you said, I'll make it very simple?
Guys, I forgot to mention that the character of Walter Denton definitely inspired me. As a young actor, when I was doing a play, Bye Bye Birdie, at Washington and Lee University in Virginia, I played Hugo Peabody, and my inspiration for his character, at least his voice, was from Walter Denton from Our Miss Brooks. So Walter Denton talked like this, and then my Hugo Peabody talked like this when I played him. Something about that voice sounded very prepubescent. Or someone at least going through puberty or just finishing up. I was old playing the role, but I could play still like I was 16 because I talked like this. I think it's a great old style voice. I said, Kim McAfee, you better not kiss Conrad Birdie because I'm going steady with you. Anyway, I didn't want to forget that tidbit that Our Miss Brooks inspired me in my acting. To have that young voice, nerdy guy voice. I watched an interview with Eve Arden and the boy who played Walter Denton, and he still could do the voice during the interview. He was like in his 60s or so at the time. It was very impressive. You can't forget that voice. It's iconic. It's in you.
That's cool that you have a personal connection with that show and that you've used it in your own personal theatrical work. So this will be a deeply meaningful episode, and I'm excited about it. I still haven't listened to it, but I will, and I will report my findings. I'm excited. This is going to be great. We're going to kill it.
What's this? The clutch won't move.
Of course not. You've got to step on the brake.
Step on the brake? To start my car?
You depress that brake pedal, Harriet. Let's surprise your daddy.
Okay, here goes.
Ooh. Good heavens, what happened?
Watch where you're driving, Dad.
Oh, why, yes. We're going 50 miles an hour, and I haven't shifted into high yet.
Sure you have, Mr. Conklin. There isn't any first or second gear.
Isn't any first or second gear?
Boy, this car can really dig out, Daddy.
One more turn like that, and they'll dig us out of the upholstery.
Well, this is awful. We're at the mercy of this steel monster. I've got to stop it.
I would if I were you. Just step on the gas pedal.
The gas pedal?
You just went through a red light, Daddy.
Now you're on the wrong side of the street. Please, sir, jam your foot down on the gas pedal.
She's taken leave of her senses. We've got a maniac in the car with her.
Calm down, Daddy. Maybe you ought to turn off the motor.
What? The motor? Oh, yes, yes. Yes, that's what I'll do. I'll turn off the motor. But the ignition switch. Where's the ignition switch?
That's up front, under the hood.
Oh, good. I'll just step out and I'll walk up to the... Under the hood!
On the left.
I know. He's coming towards us.
There's only one way to stop this juggernaut. I'll try to ease it over the sidewalk up ahead and bring it to stop against one of those hedges. Oh, here's a hedge that looks nice and bushy.
Well, what do you know? They trimmed it.
Luckily, in my heart of hearts, I thought that if there was an episode of Our Miss Brooks called Woman Driver, that they'd be terribly sexist and it would be sad to listen to. But I was a little bit wrong and a little bit right. It wasn't sad to listen to. It was very funny. And people were being sexist about Miss Brooks driving. Oh, I don't want a woman driver, says Gail Gordon, the principal. And... when the car gets rewired, she knows more about the car than the owner of the car does. So that's perfect. And she can say, well, I think if you slam your foot on the brake, that'll be the gas. And I think if you do this, it'll be that. And he's like, oh, poppycock, women don't know anything about driving. But she was right, because she knew about the rewiring of all the innards of the car. So I thought that was a good play
made her the somewhat smarter one, even though they're still demeaning to her. At least she's witty and smart and funny.
Thank you for the summary, Richard. It was very fun and enlightening about what to expect. Because, as is usual with us, I have not been acquainted with this story. I guess we kind of took that whole idea from the JR Watches Star Trek for the first time podcast. And so lots of things that I listen to, it's the first time I've listened to, and you are much more acquainted. I'm excited to have Jacob back with us again. And I know we'll do awesome in our reenactment and discussion. I am skeptical that it will be good, only because I think it could be very stereotypical of what we think back in that day. I don't know what I'm trying to say exactly, but it might not be the best thing because it's dated. But of course, all of them are somewhat dated, but some of them are still so good. But we shall see after having listened to the episode.
Now, what I had in mind was a student police force with authority to discipline themselves.
A student police force? But who ever heard of such a thing? It's preposterous.
No, it isn't, Mr. Conklin. The kids would be ashamed to be caught driving recklessly by their own friends. And in conjunction with the police force, I think we should have a driving class at Madison.
You mean you are actually proposing that we teach our students to drive an automobile during the regular school hours?
Those who need it, yes. We could... Oh, look who just got to school.
It's Mr. Boynton, isn't it?
But he's behind you. How could you tell?
By the way your eyeballs spun around in their sockets.
They always do that when I get something in my eye. Especially him.
Good morning, Miss Brooks, Mr. Conklin.
Hello, Boynton.
Sir, there's something I want to suggest to you.
In a moment, Boynton. First, I'd like you to listen to an idea I just had.
Yes, sir?
What would you think of our instituting in this school a student police force?
A student police force?
Exactly. One with authority to discipline each and every offender among the student body.
Say, that sounds like a fine idea.
You really like it?
I love it.
I hate it. That was only part of it.
Please, Miss Brooks, please.
After having listened to the episode, I can say that I did enjoy it. It was, I texted Richard this earlier today. It was total nonsense and as stereotypically bad as I thought it might be, but also funny at the same time, because it did, even back then, sort of take the notion of men behaving badly around women and turn it on his head or, like, point out the ridiculousness of it. But still, oh my gosh, how many times did I want to punch that principal in the face talking right over top of her and the little teenage boy thinking that he definitely knows everything better than her? It was crazy. Oh, yes, I also wanted to talk about the comedic timing of the show. I thought that that was great. And I guess that's an essential part of a radio show since you can't even pick up on the faces. I guess it's kind of good to have that comedic timing, but they were perfect with the pauses and the jumping in at the right time. So I definitely enjoyed that. It was fun to listen to.
How would we do this story now? What ideas are popping in your head for the old improv noggin?
I'm not sure what would be the best idea. I've had this too. And the funniest part to me is that we could do this show and it'd be exactly the same way today, and it could still be the exact same episode. Not much has changed in the way that some men, present company excluded, I'm sure, in the way that some men treat women in society. So, therefore, I think you could do the exact same episode and it'd be exactly the same way, and it would still be the same. It would still be just as relevant. That said, that doesn't necessarily make for good improv to do the same thing. So I'm not sure what we need to do, what the angle is to make it different.
Well, like I was talking to someone else earlier in my life, people love a good Riverdale drama series. So if we were going to make it a modern take, we could still have the same plot, but we can have the school be like a Riverdale. So Madison High School is, like, really cool, really hip. And, you know, the students sometimes sleep with the teachers, and the teachers sometimes sleep with the students, and maybe, but still have the same basic plot of, oh, women drivers, oh no, poppycock. And then see where that goes, if we just have a lens of, but also it is a comedy, so maybe we can be doing a spoof on Riverdale and those type of drama, high school babies, mamas, dramas. Also, I never put in my two cents about Gail Gordon's character. We know Gail Gordon from playing Mr. Atterbury on My Favorite Husband, as well as being on television with Lucy in The Lucy Show, Here's Lucy, and Life with Lucy. So pretty much three out of the four I Love Lucy shows. He guest starred on I Love Lucy as well. But he's a famous actor. He has comedic timing. I think Eve Arden has the best comedic timing of the whole episode. But his character was a little rotten, very, oh, I'm a man, and he mansplained everything. And a mansplaining episode is definitely current, too.
I don't know about you, Richard, but I have watched a lot of Riverdale, and I find it to be completely hilarious. Unintentionally, but also completely hilarious.
Well, if it's already a comedy, we're halfway there.
And I didn't realize that he was the same guy from the Lucy shows that you have had me watch a lot of times. That's cool. That's cool. And that explains why he's got that comedic timing, too, because he's performing with these awesome women like Eve Arden and Lucille Ball. And sounds like he's got a knack for that as well. Like I said, I thought everybody on the show really had the comedic timing down. That's what made it so funny, even though it was maddening at the same time.
And Eve Arden, in that interview I referred to earlier, where herself and the boy who played Walter Denton were on a show being interviewed, she said, oh, I wasn't boy crazy. I wasn't man crazy. I was just Mr. Boynton crazy. So her brain cells, you know, lessened when she was in the presence of just one Mr. Boynton. So she likes to defend herself as the character Connie Brooks and say, Connie Brooks was head over heels crushing over Mr. Boynton. That is why she acted boy crazy around him. But she wasn't boy crazy about everybody. And she retained her smarts. Most of the time, she just got flustered around Mr. Boynton, which I thought was an interesting take, too.
Oh, I could definitely see that she was, but for the most part, that's what made it, I think that's what made it surprisingly better than I thought it was going to be, was that she was kind of above the principal in terms of, oh, I'm just so dumb. Like, she didn't play that game with him at all. He would say stuff and she'd be like, yeah, that's definitely the way that happened. You're right. And it was, you know, the audience was obviously able to understand that he was being the idiot and she was being the smart one. I didn't think she came across as ditzy or what is the word that they used in the description? Flaky? No, I don't know. Anyway, she didn't come across that way, I thought. She came across as smart and being taken for granted.
I think one of the descriptors was frazzled. And she's not really a frazzled individual. I think she only gets that way around her crush. That's my take on it anyway.
Yeah, exasperated. That's what I... frazzled is what I was thinking of, but exasperated is what she gets around the principal.
Yes, she gets very exasperated and everything is flip-flopped into his idea, even though she comes up with the ideas. He's like, you know, while you were talking, I had a great idea and my idea was actually your idea. And she's like, mm-hmm, yeah, sure.
Yeah, everything was over the top exaggerated, and yet sometimes that really does happen, so it's not all that exaggerated. But it was all over the top exaggerated. She'd be like, I think we should put A in front of B. And he'd be like, you know, I just had a great thought. I think we should put A in front of B. Literally word for word, everything that she said. And sometimes men are a little bit more clever and will at least, you know, change the way that they say it around. And, you know, I had a great idea. Maybe B should be behind A. And everybody's like, woo, that's an amazing idea. We hadn't thought of that. Even though she's just said it, but he says it in a different way. You know, kind of like when Richard is learning lines and he learns the sort of lines, but he gets the gist of it just in a different order. I think that's the way that men can sometimes mansplain. And I think that was the way that he handled it. And so that made it even more amusing.
Yeah, I can never memorize a line quite right. Like, if the line is like, come in, sit down, have a drink, I'll say, why don't you come inside and take a seat? Maybe I can get you something to drink. I just never remember the exact words. Frustrating. But I am who I am. I am my own special creation. So here we are.
I know that you're fighting your urge to turn this into a Broadway musical right now. I can feel it.
Yeah, on my podcast, it hasn't turned into a Broadway musical, but on my vlog, it has. So it's gone the way of all Richard's earth.
Yeah, that's okay, though. That's Richard, and that's what we love about you, or that's one of the things we love about you.
Aww. I love you, too, and I love things about you as well. So, if we were going in the route of a Miss Brooks entangled in teenage drama, but it's also funny, maybe that could be our spin?
Yeah, I think that could work.
Sounds good to me. And then maybe Jacob will be on board.
Yeah, that sounds good. We can also take a pause for the cause.
Our new series and our new episode will be called Madison High School's Mama's Drama. It's just relatable. It's just as relatable as your high school experience, except for these stories are sprinkled with drama. They're so over the top that it will make you feel under par.
I love the Mama's Drama. I think that'll be fun. And I think, yeah, it's very relevant to today. So it sounds like, Richard, you're saying that maybe there should be some scandalous things happening with our Miss Brooks and her students. And if I remember right, we're just kind of going over the same structure. We're imitating the same structure of things. So it's like, do we follow the first few scenes? Like, she meets her student and they talk about driving. And then when she gets to school, he like gives her a ride to school that's really fast, and then she meets the teacher she really likes and the principal, and they talk about the police force, and then they talk about, then she meets with the principal and they talk about her teaching the driving class, and then she goes over to the garage and gets the car, talks to the guy who fixes it, who fixed it in complete darkness. So maybe something maybe she could walk in the complete darkness and something could happen there. Maybe this is too weird to plan out her sexual escapades. or maybe I'm misunderstanding. So whatever additional insight and thoughts you have, please share. Hello, Kelly. Good to see you.
So without further ado, I think I'm ready to begin.
Welcome to another episode of Madison High School's Mama's Dramas. Previously on Madison High School's Mama's Dramas, we find our teacher, Connie Brooks, in a love triangle, in a love quadrangle, in love in every direction. Her students are turning 18. They're soon to be legal. Walter Denton is her ride to school each morning. as her car is in the shop, and the man at the shop has been making eyes at her too, and Mr. Boynton, the other young, hot, sexy teacher in school, is making eyes at her. There's eyes all around her. The ball is in her court now, as we tune in to a regular morning where Walter Denton picks her up.
Well, good morning, Miss Brooks. I hope you had a restful evening last night. I can't wait to take you to school in my new convertible. I'm gonna put the top down, if that's all right with you.
Why, Mr. Denton, what a lovely new red convertible. Would you listen to that train going by? It's so fast. Anyway, back to your beautiful red convertible. I would love to drive to school with the top down, if you know what I mean. But we must be careful. You are not 18 and are 17 yet. So to avoid any appearance of funny business, it should also be agreeable to have the top down. That way any wandering eyes won't be suspicious of any funny business.
Anything you say, Connie. I mean, Miss Brooks. Your reputation I hold in such great high esteem. You are so smart and wise and funny.
You better be careful, Walter. Mr. Denton, I should say. You'll make me change my mind. But anyhow, we must get to school fast. I have an appointment with Mr. Boynton of a rather personal matter, indeed.
I'll get you to school real quick, Miss Brooks. Because my name is Walter Denton, and my middle name is Speed Demon. So my full name is Walter Speed Demon Denton, at your service. In fact, this next train going by, it's going approximately 80 miles per hour, one of those faster trains. I think I'll race it to school today.
Walter, you're doing it again. You're being so charming, you need to be careful. I'm starting to get emotional feelings toward you, and it would be untoward for me to have any kind of emotional feelings toward you, if you know what I mean. And at any rate, get to the school quickly. You should race that train. We need to get there fast.
Anything you say, Miss Brooks, whatever your heart desires, and your mind, your beautiful, beautiful mind.
So Walter Denton did exactly what Miss Brooks told him to. He was an obedient student, and they did rush to class. They rushed so fast that by the time they pulled into the parking lot, they had skin marks on the ground, and she kind of plopped out over the door in the upright position, luckily. And she was so flabbergasted. She had to quickly say goodbye to Walter and sort her feelings later. It was time for that meeting with Mr. Boynton.
Goodness, Miss Connie. Miss Brooks. Can't believe how quickly I saw you arrive into the parking lot with that boy in his car. It was very, very quick. And I saw you were going almost as fast as that train. It was quite a fast route you were taking there. Wow, what a fast woman you are. So speedy. But I'm very grateful that you were that speedy, because we have a meeting to attend to.
Why, yes. We were going quite fast. It was our intention to beat that train, and we almost did. In fact, I have such a spring in my step, I'm really ready and engaged for our meeting. In fact, I won't have to exercise today. I feel like I've lost all the calories I need for even 2 or 3 days worth of calories. Anyway, I had thought I'd be late for the meeting, but it seems like I came just in time.
Plenty of time indeed, but this causes a problem for us. So many of our students have been getting into automobile accidents, Miss Brooks, and we need to come up with some kind of school program that can help them to stop moving so quickly. They move so quickly. They get all heated up, and they just start, you know, it's these hormones that these kids have. They're filled with all kinds of sweat and urges. And the automobiles sort of represent that sweat and that urge. We need to help teach them how to park those energies and to slow them down to a more a safe pace. And if you, Miss Brooks, are participating in a fast ride with these youngsters, well, then, by golly, I think that's such a womanly thing for you to do. How typical of a woman to encourage the young people towards the insanity of youth.
Call it my feminine animal magnetism, or call it my womanly sense of adventure, but I enjoy helping the children, the students, in any way I can. In fact, you can leave it to me to deal with their hormones. I will help them slow down. If you could be in charge of a program that will help them with their driving, or being less dangerous. In fact, speaking of all this feeling, I have the feeling that you're being flirtatious, Mr. Boynton. In fact, maybe you should slow down a bit. Be careful.
Miss Brooks, what a thing to say. I, being flirtatious with you, this is a purely professional situation. I would never intend to shift gears with you into a faster pace of living beyond that which is part of the protocol of this school. It's such a womanly thing of you to insinuate that. And I am a big fan of womanly women, if you know what I mean.
I think I do know what you mean, Mr. Boynton. And as a matter of fact, maybe I am unable to change your gear. But that doesn't mean you have the right to try to change mine. In fact, I know a few students who are coming of age who might need a little help from me with their gear shifter. I'd be happy to help them in any way they need. If I need to teach them how to handle their gear shifter, so be it, at any pace they feel comfortable with. Well, I hope you have luck in your program, helping the students be less dangerous. I hope it goes swell for you, Mr. Boynton, and you can make swift changes to students. I bid you adieu for now. Thank you. Well, professional teacher or not, I do wish Mr. Boynton luck helping those kids. Even though he can drive me nuts, he is still a decent teacher. At any rate, it is my free period. I need to take this time to go pick up my car from the shop. I sure do hope those car shop serpent boys are finished with the work and repairs so I can regain some of my independence. As much as I appreciate that Walter Denton driving me everywhere, he was coming too close and starting to drive me berserk as well. So between Boynton and Denton, they're each moving a little closer and a little farther away from unprofessional territory.
Mrs. Brooks, how fortuitous for us to meet in the parking lot here right now. This is the principal, and I'm very concerned about how quickly you're headed to wherever it is you're going.
Yes, I'm sorry, Principal. I was off to catch the bus to the car shop during my free period so I could pick up my car from the shop boys.
Should we talk about whatever it was that you wanted to talk to me about behind closed doors?
Well, I just came from talking to the charismatic math and English teacher, a double teacher, Mr. Boynton. When he got me so nervous, I bolted out here to the parking lot quick as can be. And now I've run into you, Principal, reminding me that we had a meeting. Principal Osgood Conklin, if I could call you by your given name, your full given name. I was talking to Mr. Boynton, as I said, and he was getting rather rambunctious and sexist altogether, which us women are sick and tired of, frankly, just sick and tired of it. At any rate, as you can see, I flipped my heels off and put on my Keds because I was going to the car shop. on foot and on bus, however I needed to get there. And I'm actually glad I ran into you. The problem we were discussing was of the raging hormones of those teenagers, causing them to be reckless in vehicles and, quite frankly, even without vehicles.
Well, of course, Miss Brooks. I'm glad to help you in any way that I can. I'm always amazed that as a woman, I've managed to make it all the way to the top and be the principal of a school full of strangely, oddly progressive men. Mrs. Brooks, you brought up a good point about the speeding, raging hormones of all of the students around here. And that made me think that maybe you should come up with an idea for how we should control those hormones. Is there anything you can think of that might help to calm those hormones down?
Why, yes, Principal Coughlin. I do have an idea. And coming from one female woman teacher to another female woman faculty member, I can confide in you that one of the ways we can use our station in life is to calm all men's hormones down. If we offered a driving class, we could instill more calmness onto the menfolk, whether they be almost 18-year-old students or teachers that also need to slow their roll. And I think by doing so, we're using our station and our given talents and abilities to calm down. To just calm the freak down.
Let's do it. Let's you and I together as female women. Let's go teach these boys, these young boys, almost legal boys, a good lesson that they'll never forget about speeding and raging hormones. On the course, of course. I think that the first thing we should do is enlist one of these younger gentlemen that you mentioned into our educational plan. Do you have any ideas?
Why, yes, Principal Coughlin. I do believe one of my lackey teenage followers would be perfect to bring on board. In fact, I see him now. He's coming through the hallway out into the parking lot to where we are. Oh, Walter! Mr. Walter Denton, please come over here.
Oh, hi, Principal Coughlin. Hi, Miss Brooks. It's good to see you both here in such lovely weather we're having. The sun is breaking through the rain of earlier. Anyhow, how can I be of assistance, Principal Coughlin?
Well, Walter, you would actually be a great idea. Good thinking, Miss Brooks. You would be a great idea since you just got out of juvie for your speeding because you got arrested for speeding with that girl in the parking lot just past the hallway. Anyway, you would be the perfect choice since you've just gotten out of juvie. You would be able to teach the kids about speeding. Perhaps you could find some followers to join us in our quest to calm the speeding hormones raging in our Middlebrook school community.
Well, if Madison High School in the city of Middlebrook needs my help, I'll be there. I know by serving my time in juvenile detention, I have been through the mill, Brooke, of things that are going on, and I just need to avenge my previous record. That's why I've been trying to suck up to Miss Brooks, actually. I find her a formidable teacher and someone I could look up to, and I want her to help me through my deviant times so when I grow up, I could be as good a teacher as her. So yes, Principal Coughlin, I will help you. I will help scare these other students into our kind of submission. That's a submission of freedom.
Okay, Walter. Your first job is to go find these nearly of age students to help us in our plans. And Miss Brooks, I believe you were on your way to the shop. Perhaps you were going to spend some time getting to know the shop expert there. See what kind of great information he can give you behind closed doors.
Well, Principal Coughlin, I was just about to bring up the proprietor of the shop. In fact, him and all his lackeys are perfect people for our plan.
Well, that is a wonderful idea, Walter. Since I'm going to the shop anyway to pick up my car, why don't you and I recruit all the boys that are there, and they can be added to our plot to fix this school.
You, as always, are nothing but professional and charming. Miss Brooks, I can't wait for you to go get those serpents in the shop under control.
Thank you once again, Principal Coughlin. You are a gentle woman and a scholar. Yes, I believe all the serpents will be able to help our cause. And although they think they may be a gang of hooligans at the car shop, I believe it is through their brotherhood of sisters and brothers and friends who are not even a part of their family, that it is through their tie that our school will become calm, united, and without speed demons ever again.
And so Miss Brooks and Walter Denton made their way to the Serpent's car shop, and they did convince with much ease to recruit the whole gang of brothers and sisters, and they were united in starting a new automobile car instruction class, mandatory for all boys and men on campus, whether they be underage but almost of age students or teachers who are definitely of age but might need to calm down and slow their roles as well. So we will tune in to the lesson that Mr. Boynton got with the serpents, Miss Brooks, and Walter.
All right, gang members of the Serpents, who also moonlight as car shop dealers and owners, we are ready for our first lesson with Mr. Boynton, who was caught speeding around the school during lunchtime. So joke's on you, Mr. Boynton. You're also a culprit of fast hormones and need to slow down.
Aha. Mr. Boynton, just the person we were looking for. We'd like to have a word with you, please. It's been brought to our attention by Miss Brooks and the principal that you have been caught speeding around campus today. We have been elected as the new campus police security / serpent gang / car shop repair person team to instruct people on how they should slow down and relax, Mr. Boynton. What do you say? Would you like to give it a try?
All right. You caught me. I thought I could get away with it, but you guys were too good. I thought as kids you would just, you know, be easily waylaid and I wouldn't have to confront the fact that I'm a flouter of the law when it comes to driving through the parking lot at this school. But, gosh darn it. You're too good at your jobs. I thought, there's no way that you'll make me deal with justice. What do I need to learn? What do I need to do? I'll pay the price. I've had a change of heart. Maybe. Miss Brooks in particular, I'm interested in what you have to say about all this. I'm interested. You're such a powerful presence for these youngsters. They listen to your guidance. They follow your whim. You're so striking, beautiful. You have a commanding presence. I'd like your presence to command me.
Well, Mr. Boynton, I'd be lying if I said I wasn't interested in you, too. But, like the Serpents, the boys that own the car shop and do the repairs and have their own little gang of usually hooligans, but for now they're using their powers for good, have told me you need to slow your roll and calm down. In fact, I may even agree to go on a date with you to see where things go if you calm your insides, which would calm your outsides driving. So if that sounds fair to you, and it sounds fair to the boys, and it sounds fair to Principal Coughlin, I think we're in agreement. What do you say, Mr. Boynton?
I'm agreed. I will cool my jets, and I will drive slowly as I drive you on a date. So I say aye.
Well, that resolves our little story based upon our Miss Brooks. I believe we tried to give it a sort of Riverdale Archie Comics revival version. And I think we're getting there. Let us know if we need to make more episodes of our more dramatic version of our Miss Brooks, and maybe we can be more detailed on what all the drama and emotion and what really was speeding up and slowing down and speeding up and what was it all about. Tune in next time for another episode of our podcast, The Second Golden Age of Radio. Thank you.